Ah, good morning, darling.
Yes, good morning. How are you this morning?
Coffee?
I certainly would, and I'd like more than coffee this morning. I feel pretty good, you know. Everything's nice and peaceful, and I feel pretty strong. Good night's sleep. Nary's been happening around this household, so it makes me feel a little better. Nothing seems unnatural, if I may say so.
Well, don't say that. You know, something frightful always happens when we start saying to ourselves, oh, that is very quiet around here.
Oh, you're being very proper with us this morning, Mrs.
Mm-hmm.
F. I might say, how about a little sugar, please?
Yes, here
that's
it is.
Fine.
Did you want, what do you want, biscuits or pancakes?
Little pancakes.
Morning?
How about telling Olive some pancakes this
Olive!
Morning?
Olive! Some pancakes for the boss this morning.
Why is it that when the children want pancakes, you tell them not to have pancakes in the morning? What's the theory of
that? Because I don't like them to have too many sweets. You give them far too many sweets, dear, and it's very bad for their teeth. And before I know it, I'll have them at the dentist, and they won't like that.
Well, that sounds logical. But, you know, the children are a little burned up at me because last Sunday, being on a fishing trip, they wanted to know why I couldn't take them and make the rounds and take them to the playgrounds and take them to the ponies. And, you know, Sunday seems to be my day of controlling the children,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And you say that everything's been quiet around here, but it's just like every household. Some days it's quiet, some days it's noisy. It's kind of the law of averages. But we don't get the low law around here very much. It's never very calm for long. However, as I told you a minute ago, I feel great. I feel wonderful. I had a good night's sleep for once. And when I hit the pillow last night, I just kind of sunk off and went to sleep like a log. And the next thing I remembered or heard this morning was the alarm going off.
You know, I had awful insomnia.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Of course, I go mad when things are too quiet anyway. I sort of like things to be going on all the time.
You do, eh?
Mm-hmm. Not unpleasant things, of course. Say, will you bring the mail, dear?
Yeah, it's right over here.
As you go, ask that boy next door to please quit whistling. He's been at it since about 6 this morning. I just can't stand it anymore.
Ask him to stop whistling, did you say?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this is a free country. You know, you can't tell a fellow to quit whistling, son. Because my wife can't sleep or something like that.
Well, would you mind asking him to move a few notes on or something, or a few bars on? He's been repeating the first few notes for 2 hours. Goodness me, you'd think he'd be sick of them by now. And
well, haven't you noticed that with a lot of people it gets habitual?
Well, this is awful. He's been in and out of that gate all morning, too, dear. And ask him, please, in a very nice way, you know how you can, if he wouldn't mind oiling that rusty hinge, will you?
Oh, brother, I've heard everything. You know, you ought to take and relax just a little bit. I know you've got a lot of things on your mind. You've got the Benny Barnes tot of the town shop out in the valley percolating and doing a lot of business for you. You get up in the morning and have breakfast with all of our friends, and then you go over to the studio to play a very important role in, what's the name of the picture?
Winter, If Winter Comes.
If Winter Comes. But you shouldn't let those things get on your nerves. You got to calm down. You haven't got much to do outside of looking after the children and seeing that I keep straight, and kind of fills up your day, I know.
You know, talk about If Winter Comes today. It was so hot on our set. And we're in an English countryside, and I had the heaviest tweed outfit on you've ever had in your life, and a tweed hat and a tweed overcoat, and I was just about ready to die. Angela Lansbury and I were just melting away.
Well, you know, I told you last night not to sit up reading that mystery story. Incidentally, I don't think it was too good a story, and when you read those mystery stories that late, especially when they're not a Richard Sale mystery, it kind of makes you jittery.
I certainly don't need to read any more of that stuff. I've got it right next door with a whistler and that squeaking gate. Oh, my. That's the way he goes all the time. It's just like the Inner Sanctum mystery. No wonder I'm upset.
That reminds me of that radio program we heard last night, that Milton Berle show, where he did that takeoff on the whistler. Wasn't that something?
What is that double talk routine that they do? I think that's wonderful. Oh, I wish I could do that.
I thought that was kind of cute. The fella came in as a diction coach, remember?
Uh-huh.
And double talk is a great thing if you get to be a master of it or something, and you get some of the fellas that can really handle it beautifully, and you get a fella in a trance. And it's very effective, you know.
Get a what? Are you double-talking with me?
No, I say, and a fella wants to tell him about to come to fellas in the morning, and he says yes, and now it's your turn.
I don't understand a word
you're
saying.
You take three fellas about the square coming in the morning, and they say, well, if you're feeling up a lab about Friday, how do you do?
Oh, you well, really, it? Now you're giving it to
That's
me.
That's the way to go. Thank you. Thank you, Olive. Thank you. Here's the mail, dear. It's a big pile of letters, too. Most of them for you, but all I've got on my side of the ledger here. What are you doing, Olive? She hands me all of the bills. Here's another one, nothing but bills. You know, sometimes, just once, I'd like to look into the mailbox and kind of find a sweet message from the Court of Missing Heirs and find out that someone had left me a fortune.
You should live so long. Here's a letter from England.
Who's that from? That's Maggie. Your sister?
I'll read that later. It always takes me half an hour to figure out her writing. Gee, I wish she'd give up using that purple ink. And she writes on such thin paper, all the ink goes through on the other side.
It just runs together, is that it?
If she'd just write on one side, it would be all right, but she tries to economize, I guess, and writes on both sides, so it just floats together. I never can read those letters at all.
Well, I think a lot of people do that, and when you write a letter, you don't realize what's going to happen, the effect that the mail department has on it when it goes thousands and thousands of letters and miles and letter miles, I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And the ink runs together, and people don't have consideration for the person that's going to read it. They just figure that you know how they're going to read it. Wait a minute, what's this? The electric bill. You know what the electric bill is this month?
No, how much is it?
What are we doing, leaving the lights burning all night or something?
Well, my gosh,
20 bucks, $20.22. I think I better call up the company and find out what's wrong. They must have read the meter wrong or something.
Oh, dear, you say that every month.
I do?
Yes. After all, remember that the new floodlighting we put in the living room uses up a lot of current.
Oh, yes, the new floodlighting in the living room. Bet you everybody's got a squawk of some kind about their electric bills, their gas bills. You know, we'd better quit using those floodlights for ornamentation purposes. Why don't we have a rule in the house that we'll only turn them on when we have company? That's about the only time I go into the living room, you know that? And I don't think it's necessary to burn those porch lights and those lanterns all morning long,
well,
do you?
Well, dear, now, if we don't, someone will fall down and break their necks and sue us. That's definitely sure. The minute we leave them off, they'll hurt themselves, and then we'll have another. You'll have a doctor's bill.
Look here, too. Look. The water bill. It's twice what it was last month. How come it's twice what it was last month?
Oh, relax, dear. That's for 2 months. They're sending out double bills now.
Like movie theaters, is that right? 2 months. Oh, I didn't notice it was 2 months here. I get it. Well, before I go on talking about the bill and all that, I better tell our friends that are having breakfast with us, why not have another cup of coffee? Will you have
a cup?
Yes,
dear. Here it is.
Thank you. And tell them that it's approximately 22 minutes of 9. This is KFVD Los Angeles.
And this is Binny.
And this is Mike. We come to you each morning, Monday through Friday. And I do want to say thank you for writing so many lovely letters to my wife. You know, it must be that women like to write to women, too. I thought maybe I'd get a lot more letters from the women, but you seem to be getting more letters from the women than I do. Did you notice that?
Yes, I guess so.
But do you mind if I get back to cutting the bills a little?
No, please do, dear.
Now, I just want to analyze this. I say that to you quite frequently. We ought to cut down the expenses of running this house, you know. We're not made of money.
I didn't think you were, dear.
One of these days, there might be such a thing as a recession. I'm not saying depression. I say recession.
Okay, we'll go on a budget right away. I'll cut everything down. Don't worry about a thing. I'll take care of it.
I can see you doing that. However, I might say you'd better. You know, it's good to kind of check yourself when things are on a stable basis and all that, and when things are quiet, that's the time to kind of check yourself.
Yeah.
But look at the dog, Zesto. Zesto.
Now what's he doing?
What's the matter with that dog? He keeps scratching himself all the time. Here, Zesto. Come here, boy.
Let me look at him, dear.
Come here.
Why, he's got red marks on him. It looks like eczema to me.
Eczema? Are you kidding? Well, why don't you call the hospital? You want the phone now or something? Call the hospital and have him looked at. You know, I don't want to say this too loud because the nurse is going to tell me to mind my own business about what's good for the children and what isn't good for the children. But, you know, it's not healthy to have the dog around the children while he's scratching. It might be something they could catch, you know.
Well, you know, it's something that amazes me here.
What does?
The idea of dog hospitals. I suppose it's all very marvelous, and but in England, we just went to a plain, ordinary vet.
For dogs, too?
Oh, sure, and he held the dog's nose and poured some medicine down its throat or gave it a horse pill or whatever they do, and everyone hoped for the best. It seemed to work out fine, too.
Did you say a horse pill or a horse pill?
Horse pill, or whatever they give them.
Well, of course, I don't think they go in for this kind of treatment in all the states in the Union. It seems like out here in California, things kind of sprout a little more, especially nasal conditions. Must be the sun goes to people's heads or something.
Well, I certainly never heard of tree surgeons before I came here. And nor how about that thing, that cat's rest home. And there's another place where there's a cat's home you just go, and there's a burial ground. Big deal.
We're getting on to everything out here.
It's a whole big thing with those cats, you know. They go up and you see the little thing. It's laid out right in the right spot, and it's got the, you know, the...
Well, you know...
Satin cover, and the little thing's got a ribbon around its neck, and it has its own cemetery, and you all follow in a big hearse.
Let me whistle. I want to slow it down a little bit.
It's quite a thing. I never saw anything like that. And now there's a cat's rest home.
That's right.
You know, so we'll soon be taking the animals to be psychoanalyzed if they don't behave themselves. You know that.
I don't think we're going to go that far, psychoanalyze or psychoanalysis for dogs and cats. I can just see it. Dr. IQ. And they take the dog up and ask him a lot of questions or something
like
that.
Sure, why does my dog bite the next-door neighbor? And then they psychoanalyze him. He didn't get a big, fat bone when he was 3 months old or something.
Well, you know the old story.
The rest of his life.
Well, you're exaggerating just a little bit, but I'd like to get off the cat and dog subject for just a minute because I kind of like my dog, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that do, and a man's best friend, you know, is his dog. How about... getting off of that subject for a minute.
I once saw a sign in a window, which I thought was an awfully good thing.
What was it?
The only love that money can buy, for sale, a puppy.
Yeah, that's pretty clever.
All right, isn't it?
Did you see that little pup that the Landfields bought the other day?
Yes, wasn't
it? When we were
here?
Driving by them, they said they drove clear downtown to buy that pup for their two youngsters. I thought that was kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you say we drop the dogs and cats for a minute? Do you mind?
Yes, certainly.
And get on... A fellow was asking me at the studio today about some of the people that were at that party with us Thursday night because I bumped into Dana at lunch today. Dana, speaking of Dana Andrews, of course.
Yeah.
That was quite a party, wasn't it?
Oh, it was wonderful. It's too bad you weren't casting any new pictures. Not that anyone could afford a cast, including all those people who were there. Gary Grant, David Niven.
That's right, and I had a very good look at Maria Montez. She was sitting right next to me, you know.
Yes, I noticed that, but she's awfully lovely.
Yes, she is, and of course there was, on the other side of me, was Audrey Totter.
Do you know that Audrey Totter came over on the set and visited me today?
She did. Did she ask for me?
No, she didn't.
Oh,
she came over to wish me luck on the picture, and she looked beautiful, dear.
Well, she's going to play a part in a picture where she plays a nurse, or a doctor, psychoanalyst doctor, something like that.
Oh, really?
I think so, and she's playing opposite a pretty nice-looking fella, incidentally, Bob Taylor.
Yes, he's pretty good.
That's what I understand. But I did notice Audrey at the party the other night, of course, and Maria, and there were several other nice-looking girls there.
You were just mentioning girls. Weren't there any men there that you noticed? I did. Seems to me I saw Ralph Blum and Gary Grant.
Well, that's the second time you mentioned Cary Grant, you know. You mentioned him once before already.
Well, I know. I'll keep mentioning him all the time. I sort of think he's kind of cute. It was a nice party, though. Did you notice that simply terrific dinner dress Maria Montez had on?
Maria? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I certainly did. I noticed the all the things about the dress, too. Say, I think, I'd tell you what would be a good idea. I don't know whether the men would enjoy it, but I imagine that the ladies that are having breakfast with us this morning would enjoy, and at approximately 16 minutes of 9, you might tell them what Maria Montez was wearing. And let's see how good you are at describing her dress.
It was one of those new ballet-length dresses in all black pure silk, and it had a jet-studded lace overskirt, and it had a wonderful off-the-shoulder neckline with jet buttons right down to the waist, and with it she wore a large-brimmed net hat with a taffeta crown. Oh, it was so beautiful.
So that was quite a good description, even though I don't quite understand all of the language that you used or anything like that. But all I can say, for the men who might be interested in how she was dressed, she looked good, brother. That's all I can say.
Wasn't that a great game we played? Do you remember how it went?
Well, it wasn't really anything new as far as games are concerned. The payoff was different. It was just an old revision or a new version of musical chairs. That's all it was.
That's right, but it was awfully funny the way the forfeits turned out, with the person having to play the leading role opposite someone at the party. I thought Audrey Tautou did awfully well as Shirley Temple in The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer. You know, incidentally, that's Gary Grant's new picture.
I kind of like that cute Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cute. I'll bet, as long as you're talking about this game, that the listeners or our breakfast guests would like to know a little about the game in case they want to play it, something like it themselves. You were kind of brief in explaining it all here. How about telling just exactly how it goes to us or to me? Explain it to me now that I played it, will you?
Well, all right. I thought that when you said it was just musical chairs, you didn't think much of it. Anyhow, instead of playing the usual forfeit of being out of the game, we did it a little different. And the lucky person...
Or you might say the unlucky person, that is, if you look at it that way.
Well, yes, I say the lucky person has to do an impersonation.
You mean like charades?
Now, please, who's telling this new game?
Go right ahead, my dear.
Well,
go right ahead.
This person does an impersonation of a movie star. But there's a qualification on what impersonation he can do. It just can't be anybody. It has to be someone who played opposite a person actually in the room.
That's right, and as long as there were a lot of movie stars there, they could have done an impersonation of me. For instance, they could have impersonated me playing opposite you every morning at breakfast on the radio.
Now, dear, I'm afraid none of these people get up early enough to listen to our program.
You're afraid that they don't get up that early? Now, what time do you get up in the morning?
Well, I get up about 6:30, but I'm so busy having my hair fixed. You know, people don't know what time we get up in the morning to go to work. Who knows?
Now, you have to be on the set tomorrow morning, and the next day, and this morning, and yesterday morning at 9 o'clock. But what does that mean, that you have to get up at what time and get where at what time?
Well, I get up at 6:30. I take a shower. I have a cup of coffee. I get into my car, and the time I'm at the studio, it's 7. I go into the makeup department, and I have my makeup put on. That takes till about 7:45. Then at 7:45, I go in the hairdressing department, and I have my hair set and finished. And that takes till 8:30. At 8:30, I get into the car on the lot, and I go, 8:30, yes, I go, and then I get into the set about 8:45. I dress, and I'm ready to work at 9 o'clock.
Well, that kind of keeps you busy in the morning, and now you can understand... And I can understand definitely why those people at that party the other night couldn't do an impersonation of me, because it wouldn't leave you much time to listen to it. But we ought to work out some kind of a deal with all of the people who are busy at that time to carry portable radios around with them, and they'd have to listen to us.
Yes, I can see them doing it.
You know, if we could get a radio sponsor that would give a portable radio to everybody that would listen to us, I think we could do a terrific business.
I think so, too. You know, Dana Andrews he told me that he's an expert on boats. Is that right?
That's right.
And since you're thinking of buying a boat, did you ask him about any advice?
Well, I really didn't have much time to talk to him about boats, because we talked about a lot of other things. But, you know, we're having dinner with Dana and his wife Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me a lot of things about the pictures he's made in the past and the pictures he's going to make in the future. Do you know that I met Dana Andrews long before he was in pictures? Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Well, when I was doing football games for a sponsor, an oil company, I had to visit the various service stations, you know, go in. I didn't have to, but I deemed it a pleasure to go into the service stations and see how business was doing and see whether they were listening to our football games and all that. And I went into this one station and saw this very handsome man, and he had a beautiful voice. And I talked to him, and I said, how come you aren't one of the fellows that we interview between halves on Saturday during a game? And he said, well, I don't know. I'd like to do it. I'd like to be an actor, as a matter of fact. And he was a service station employee at the time.
Really?
And he came up the following Saturday. I had called the station, or I had called the advertising manager of the company and told him that I thought Dana would be a good bet to bring on the air. And so, indirectly, I'm the scout who found Dana Andrews. Did you
mean
know
he
that?
Was a service station
operator?
Man?
That's right.
Oh, really? The man that puts the gas in the car?
He's the man who put the gas in the car, and his brother and sisters, he's putting the gas in motion pictures right now.
Oh, he's terrific. Gee, I wish I'd known him then.
You know, he's made a lot of hit pictures when you take Goldwyn's Best Years of Our Lives and Boomerang and many others. Did you know that he is now a freelance player, as we call him? He can make pictures for various independents. He has contracts with individual producers, but he's going to make one a year, I think, on his own production, his own company he's forming.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a very intelligent man, and he'll have some good ideas. But the thing that impressed me the most about him, dear, was that his outlook on motion pictures. He said that when he makes a picture and he acts as the star and the producer of the picture or gets associated with it as his own company, that he's going to go for the kind of pictures that depict real, human, everyday people and as clean as they can possibly be, which is absolutely clean. There'll never be any question about any violence in them or any question about anything that's off color. And I think that's quite an impressive thing, and it's a good thing.
Well, I do wish that they'd clean up a lot of these pictures for young children. I don't like to see them. I wouldn't like to think of my children going to see some of these horror pictures. I think it's frightening.
Well, dear, speaking on the producer's side, they aim to do that, and they're trying to do that. And, of course, misinterpretation very often gets into it, and people don't understand some of the things that the writers and the producers and the directors try to get over, and that misinterpretation oftentimes gets them in trouble. But the Johnson office, with a good man like Joe Breen here and his staff, they watch those things very closely in there.
Well, I just think that there's too many murder pictures and things like that, dear, and these psychoanalysts and things. I just don't like them anymore.
Well, there was a very good breakdown of it in one of the local trade papers. Did you ever stop to analyze that one of the conditions in the code of motion picture code is that when you show a heavy, as we term him, a man who is a villain, that he must always pay the penalty? So how could that encourage anyone to do something wrong?
Well, no, dear, they find the most awful ways of killing people, which upsets me terribly. They figure it out to such a great degree that I sometimes think to myself, oh, that's a nice way to do a thing. Maybe I should try that. Now, if that works on me that way, what do you think it works on the children?
Well,
they figure out the most divine ways of killing somebody.
Well, I wouldn't say that exactly. You know, they tried to be ingenious. They tried to get original ideas.
They're ingenious, all right. Believe me.
Now, I'm going to give you an example. Did you know that The Lost Weekend received many awards from civic and religious groups for the moral lesson that it taught? Did you know that?
Well, it might have taught a great lesson. I really don't know. It frightened the life out of me is all I know.
It did.
I wouldn't want my children to go and see it. They'd say, this is a great thing. This is fine. Because
no,
there's
but,
a great thing at the end of it. We can all be forgiven.
I talked to Eric Johnson personally about that picture because I wanted to use it as an example of a picture that I, at that time, didn't think was in good taste. But he explained to me that they've had very little criticism of it because it depicted a man who accomplished nothing, and how unsuccessful a man could be when he reached that state of mind, and how wrong it was to get into that state of mind and live like that. And I think there was a big lesson into it. As a matter of fact, I went back to see that picture after I talked to Eric Johnson, and I could see the message in it that they were trying to tell.
Yes, but this message doesn't reach everybody, dear. Remember that. It reaches a few of them and not all of them, and this man had several very fine people helping him.
That's quite true, but you have to realize that whether you're doing a radio program or making a motion picture, that you try to reach a cross-section, and you're not going to satisfy everybody, no more than I could satisfy everybody, nor you. And by the same token, when a man makes a picture, he tries to do the same thing. But let's not get into too much of a discussion about it.
All right.
I think it's very interesting. Maybe some of our listeners can give us their ideas, and we'll try to pass them on to people who make pictures. Did you say more coffee?
Yes, have some more. You know, that reminds me of a saying, he is a fool who cannot be angry, but he's a wise man who will not.
Say that again, will you?
He is a fool who cannot be angry, but he is a wise man who will not.
That's very good. I must remember to say that to some people sometime. At 5:30 of 9, I will make a note to say that, and that's just about what it is right now. This is KFVD Los Angeles.
And this is Benny.
And this is Mike. Breakfast with Benny and Mike. Each morning we like to talk over our breakfast table, and we like to have you pull up a chair and listen with us. And if you happen to be the lady whose husband holds the newspaper up in front of her, join us and talk to us.
Well, don't forget, too, that Harry Revell's going to be on our program Friday, and that he has a new album out of records, and anybody who can write in and tell us the name of his album, we will send one, too.
Is that right? The new album?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there must be a lot of people that know the name of that album, and
well,
I think they're going to send it in.
All they have to do is write in and let us know.
Well, we'll find out about that in a hurry. What about the letters that you've been getting from some of these people? You've got a lot of them there, and you've been reading them and answering a lot of them. Are there any interesting ones
oh,
that
yes,
we might
there's
mention?
Oh, yes, there's a lot of very interesting ones. But I received one from a listener that I want you to hear. It says, "Dear Miss Barnes, your program has become a must with me." Isn't that nice of her?
I think that's very nice.
"It's very enjoyable with your good ideas and helpful hints. While listening to your program yesterday morning, you complained about Mike snoring in his sleep." See, dear, people hear.
Is that the same letter you told me about the other day?
No, this is another one.
It is.
See, yes. "You complained about Mike snoring in his sleep. Now, I think you are lucky. My husband grinds his teeth all night." Oh, how awful. "Isn't that, which keeps me awake," she says. "He always tells me he didn't sleep a wink all night. Now, Miss Barnes, would you toss a helpful hint this way?" He signs it Mrs. C.M. I didn't read her name, because her husband might get mad.
That's good. A cure for teeth grinding. And he says he didn't sleep a wink. Well, you'd say the same thing to me when I tell you I didn't sleep a wink. You say, well, you snored all night. I might give you a good cure for teeth grinding.
Yeah, what is the poor woman going to do?
Well, I've got a very good cure. Did you ever go to the prize fights and see these guards that the fighters put in their mouth? That's what she ought
Oh, those great big rubber things. Yeah. Oh, yes, and when he goes to sleep and he lays on his back, and he opens his mouth, because all you men, you open your mouth loud and wide when you snore, and she waits for a great opportunity, seeing that first when he goes, and he opens his mouth, he gets his rubber thing, and she goes, whap, and pushes it right in his face, you see.
We better get a patent on that. I think that'd be a very good idea to get a patent on that. Say, it's getting kind of late. We only have about a minute and a half. I was going to ask you a question about your horoscope. Several of the boys have asked me, and some of the ladies, too, why you haven't been giving out with a horoscope lately.
Well, I didn't know whether people liked it or not, and I thought if they did, they'd write in and let me know if they did or not. But I have Wednesdays just in case, dear.
Quick rundown.
All right. It's a dangerous day today. Be very careful in traffic, and do not travel at all unless it's absolutely necessary. Watch your words as anger and storms are in the air. Oh, for goodness sake, don't write letters. You're apt to say the wrong thing, and this is not a good evening for dates. Stay at home and keep very quiet.
Say, that sounds like it's good advice, and I hope that everybody heeds it. A lot of people watch the horoscope and heed it and pay a lot of attention to it. But another thing I was going to mention, but you took it right out of my beautiful mouth, and that was that Harry Revell will be with us Friday. Did you say that?
Yes, I said that.
You said that.
Oh, I certainly did.
Not only about his album, but he's going to be here, and it's going to be a lot of fun talking to him because he's done a lot of good. He's written a lot of beautiful songs, and maybe he'll tell us something about his vetville that he is attempting to build. Remember, we heard a lot of comment on it, a lot of stories about it, and he'll probably tell us things about that. But it seems like the clock seems to be spinning around very fast. And have you got a slogan or a poem or something to give us for today?
Mm-hmm. And it's, "The less weight a racehorse carries, the quicker he runs. And the same holds good for the human tongue." Goodbye. This is Vinny.
And this is Mike, saying so long until tomorrow morning at 8:30 when we'll be back with you again on this same station. So long.